Reading to you from the 21st chapter of Revelation, and with the 4th verse, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. What dear letter God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ halfway around the world because I believe when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," and I've sure tried to do that. Well, I can't do it anymore, but I can still go to prisons locally and the rescue missions, and I can still witness for Jesus. Oh, man. Do you know what? It's been a raining here in Colorado like you won't believe. But we need the moisture, and so do you. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and with the 12th verse. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is difficult, if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Listen to this as when Christians suffer. Well, you know as well as I know, suffering is an unpopular subject. Did you know for about the last 12 years I've been really sick? I've had 2 heart attacks. I've had a colon cancer operation. And I'm on oxygen. And sometimes the load gets real heavy. But God said that we could just rejoice because he's going to bless you for it. Salvation is a much more pleasant topic than suffering, but heaven is more pleasant than heartache. But suffering is a real part of life. Every hospital we pass say that suffering is real. Screaming sirens each night say suffering is real. We live about 2 blocks from a firehouse. And many times in the night, ambulances will go by. You can hear them, the dogs barking. So we know that suffering really is real. Not only physical, but mental anguish. Suicide prevention organizations are busy today. My stars, they tell me that I don't know how many soldiers and Marines and sailors commit suicide after they come back from overseas. Well, we had the same problem in World War II, but I think it's worse today because some of these men are sent back to 2 or 3 times over in Iraq. Now, that would be terrible You know, the thing that bothered me when I was in the Navy, World War II, our sleeping quarters was about 15 or 20 feet below the water line. Now, if a torpedo came, we wouldn't know it hit us. And I thought about that, and I wasn't a Christian. Though I prayed a lot, I certainly wasn't a Christian. I was an alcoholic in the Navy, and I know the feeling. But listen, friend, Christians also have trials. It's not strange that Christians have trials. It's not that strange. In verse 12 it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you." Of course, boy, oh boy. And you hear these TV evangelists gets up there and says, "Well, you send $1,000 seed offering and you'll never suffer again. Your children will all be saved. You don't have to worry about your health." That's a bunch of bull, and right there tells you so. You will have trials and you will have tribulations if you know the Lord. Well, you say, "Well, I don't want to know the Lord then." Listen to me. You're going to have trials and tribulations whether you know the Lord or not. But if you know the Lord, He'll go with you through it. It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. And Christians have trials because we live in a sinful world. Friends, we are part of a fallen race. A world of rumors and a world of wars. A world of tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes. A world where sin runs rampant and greed brings violence. Christians have trials because of the power of Satan. We have an adversary, and I read in Ephesians 6:11 through 12, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rules, against the powers, against the world force of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Friends, you know what? If you hear people say there is no devil, you can rest assured they don't know what they're talking about. The devil is well, and he's out there doing his job. But someday you and I'll have the privilege of seeing him cast into the bottomless pit. Oh, we'll see that. See the very work of Satan on Job. Remember what happened to him? Well, don't be surprised when he attacks you. You say, "Oh, I'm just a nobody." I got news for you. You're somebody. And if you're born again, you're the child of the King, and He knows your name, and He knows where your name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. And for those who claim to be Christians and are not born again, when they stand before Jesus, He'll say, "Be gone, ye cursed workers of iniquity. I never knew ye." Well, Christians have trials because we're on a collision course with this world. Why Jesus was despised and rejection, and we found in John 15. Jesus said He is a vine and we are the branches. He told us to love one another. Well, He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me first." Listen to this, friends. "He who hates me hates my Father also." Well, why Jesus was despised? Because of that. His life was in opposition to the course of the world. Therefore, through the centuries, Christians have suffered. But the Christians' trials are different. In verse 13 it says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation." Friends, listen. It's not easy to praise God when you're going into a cancer operation or when you have a heart attack. It's not easy. No, it's not easy. But, friends, we do not suffer alone. Other Christians stand with Him in suffering. He has a day of glory ahead. Look at Romans 8:18. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." The Bible said, "If you shall reign, suffer with Him, you shall reign with Him." Well, listen. He can find joy even in jeopardy. And I read in Acts 16:25, "But about midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Oh, yes. Lost people love good Christian singing. Now, they had just suffered, Paul and Silas had just suffered terrible beatings. They were bleeding. They were hurting real, real bad. Well, when they started singing praise unto the Lord, it pleased God so much that he sent a great big old earthquake and shook the wall, shook the doors right off the prison cells. Well, the jailer had been outside and he heard all this commotion. He ran in there and he saw all the doors were off in the cells, and he thought, "Oh boy, they're all gone and I'm going to have to commit suicide to get around this." Paul said, "Sir, don't." He first of all said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was immediately, that he knew he had to do something quick. And Paul and Silas said, "Don't do yourself no harm, son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe. Oh, friends, tonight, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have your sins been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If not, I beg of you, I plead with you, come to Jesus while you still have an opportunity. Well, he can rejoice even in reproaches. And I read in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Well, friends, you know what? I can share a personal testimony. Years and years ago, I was pastoring a church out in Corbett, Oregon. I was putting on siding. I was working with a pretty good size building crew. And we were all sitting out in the lunch out there in a shade tree. And there's about 10 or 15 carpenters. And all of a sudden, someone said to the foreman, "Did you know Cecil Moe's a preacher?" And the foreman came over to me, and I knew he wasn't happy what he heard. And he said, "Hey, is that right, Moe? You're a preacher." I said, "That's correct." "Well," he said, "I want you to know what I believe." I said, "What do you believe?" He said, "I believe men come from monkeys." I said, "You know what? I wouldn't be a bit surprised that you did." I was fired right on the spot. The men came to me and said, "Moe, you go to the owner of this company and you tell them what they did. That was terrible. He was making fun of you and you just stood up." Well, friends, you say, well, was that a blessing? It certainly was. Oh, my stars, it was a blessing. Now, I was making $300 a week as a carpenter. Now, I'm emptying bedpans in a rest home for $175 a month. That's right. But I'll tell you what a blessing that was. I led people to Christ out there. In fact, I led a nurse to Christ, and she brought her alcoholic husband to my home on a Saturday. I introduced him to Christ, and through him, they come to our church, and my stars, what a great thing. Well, that was, you say, where's the blessing, Cecil? Well, I'm getting to that. Did you know that I came home from work in the morning? I worked all night, night shift. I came home, my wife said, "Cecil, do you know, yesterday there was a guy came to our house with a whole arm full of blueprints. And he said, give this to Cecil and tell him I want him to figure contracting all this siding instead of by the hour contracting it." I figured them up. Now, instead of $175 a month, I'm making $1,200 a week. To God be the glory and praise. Because I took an honest stand for Jesus, God rewarded that, and he'll do the same thing for you. Listen, friends. Even in his dark hours, Christ is working in him. Sometimes Christians bring suffering upon themselves. And in verse 15 and 19 it says, "By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God." Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my stars, how beautiful. But Let none of you suffer as a murderer in 1 John 3:15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. A busy body sometimes murders people's reputation. That's right. When you're putting someone else down, you're trying to put yourself up, but I'll tell you right now, that's murder. Some think they are looked down upon for their testimony when it's only for their meanness. Don't invite suffering through hypocrisy. You know, friends, sometimes Christians engage in habits or practice that brings suffering, like, for instance, drinking or smoking. Or you know why smoking is so bad? You say, well, Cecil, I don't think it's a sin. I do. The Bible said your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and shall not be defiled. You talk to any doctor and, hey, I'm on oxygen today because of my smoking years ago, even though I quit 55 years ago. I'm on oxygen. My lungs are bad. It was my fault. It wasn't God's fault. But drinking and all these things can bring suffering upon the Christians. That's disobedience. Sometimes Christians suffer because of backsliding and their result chastening. Here it says in Hebrews 12 and 6. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is it whom his father does not discipline? You say, Cecil, I'm being disciplined right now. Well, I'll tell you what. I would suggest, now some of you might say, well, Cecil, you know, I don't understand it, but I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing happens. Well, did it ever occur to you maybe there's something in your life that God is not pleased with? You say, well, what could it be? Well, you know what it is. The Holy Spirit of God will reveal you what you're doing wrong. Well, then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to confess it, turn your back on it, and God will take care of it. Now, let me tell you about myself. You know, I told you I've been dieting, my wife and I, and we've been doing real good, real faithful. Well, lately we've been invited to several dinners and several this and that and this and that. And I, next thing I know, I picked up a few more pounds. Well, it really upset me. It really upset me because I believe by getting this weight loss that I'm being able to feel better and I can breathe better. Well, the thing is, I got serious and I said, Lord, you know that I am very weak. And I'm very, very weak, and I need your help. Please help me to get back on schedule again. Help me to get this weight loss again, because I know it's not good for me to have too much weight. And you know what? The very next day, my blood sugar was down, and I'd already lost a pound. To God be the glory and praise. How I thank him for his love. You can have the same thing. You know what, friends? He doesn't love me one bit more than he loves you. God is no respecter of person. You say, Cecil, I don't do much in the church. I'm not very important. Oh, but beloved, you are important. You sure? I've told you this story about I was preaching a revival in Pennsylvania. And this woman that belonged to the church, she just laid back person. And she was very poor. And her husband was dead. And she invited me and the pastor to her house. And it was an old beat up house, but it was sure clean. And she had the most wonderful dinner for us. And I said, great day in the morning, lady. Why aren't you cooking at the church? Why don't you have the suppers? Well, because no one knows too much about me. And so that night, we went back to the church. And I said, folks, did you know I went and my pastor and I had lunch with this dear lady? Boy, howdy, you guys got a cook here and you didn't even know it. And did you know because of that, they went and hired her to be the cook once a month in the church when they had their dinners. She was a wonderful lady. But see, sometimes we have to recognize people and the talents that God's given. Do you know what? There's a big church down here downtown. It's my denomination. And boy, how did they have a choir like you won't believe. But I mean, they have only professional singers. They don't have people who haven't had training in singing. Oh, my stars. I used to sing on radio, and I used to sing on tapes and stuff. But my voice got old and feeble, and I can't sing anymore. But I do it anyway. I mean, I make a joyful noise unto the Lord because I love him, and you should do too. Well, in conclusion, are you willing to suffer as a Christian? Suffering now, but glory later. Make necessary life changes to avoid bringing suffering upon yourself unnecessarily. Oh, friends, listen. You say, Cecil, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, no, I don't. I don't know what you're going through. I sure don't. I don't know what you're suffering. I don't know what your financial problems are. Many of you are losing your homes, you're losing your cars, and you're worried to death. Oh, beloved, listen. Turn it over to Jesus. Tell him how you feel. Ask him what you need. And if it's his will, you'll get it. Oh, yes, you will. God is not a piker. You say, well, Cecil, I don't even know Jesus. Well, if you don't know Jesus, you're in a whole heap of hurt. But we can settle that tonight. If the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart and you're sorry for your sins and you'd like to know Jesus and like a life-changing experience, you bow your head at me right now, will you? But, oh, beloved, please don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And I sure won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Would you give me a call? 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes
Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song.
friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please continue to pray for our health and pray for our prison ministries. And we're praying and hoping that the Lord let us come out to the West Coast. I used to live, I was born and raised in the Dalles. I don't know if they remember me or not, but I remember them. But anyway, you pray for us that God will give us precious souls for a hire. That's the most important thing we can do in this lifetime. Well, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.